guest preacher today. We have an elder in our church who is from Malawi, Africa, Kaz Piri, who you probably know, or many of you know. And one of the things that our church has done over the last several years is developed a partnership with Malawi through ELI, which stands for Equipping Leaders International. And part of that is through a connection to another pastor, Don Ward, who lives in the Charlottesville area. And so we've been supporting and invested in that. And that's ramped up lately through your missions committee has supported ongoing and more efforts in Malawi. And so you may remember that there was a time about a month ago where Cosmos gave a presentation after the service about his trip this summer to Malawi and what all was done there, and the borehole well that was done by gifts and donations from Spring Run, as well as the ministries there. And ELI is Equipping Leaders International is working to develop what they call in their Timothy program, or their Timothy project, is to train local pastors who can't get access to the training they need to have churches in villages. And that is a multiplying, spreading ministry that has been fantastic. Bentry Mahongo is here today. So Bentry, come forward. And you, this isn't for you, is it? No, okay. I'm going to get that out of your way then. I'm just going to take it with me so I can take notes. You guys should all take notes. Bentry, welcome. We are glad to have you and delighted to hear you bring to us the Word of God today. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to worship our big God with you this morning. Let me begin by extending a word of thanks to you for your prayer and financial support towards the ministry that I'm part of. As you have heard from our pastor here, that I belong to a ministry called Equipping Leaders International. Yes, our mission is to train pastors so that they can go and train others. And I'm very excited that you are part of that mission. So when we're on the ground doing the work, we know that we are not just doing alone. There are more people behind us, and part of that group is Spring Run. Thank you very much for that. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. So we are going to read from Mark chapter 1. We are going to read from verse number 29 to 39. Mark chapter 1, reading from verse number 29 to 31. I commence reading. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. May the good Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word that we have read this morning, and we pray that you open our eyes. We pray that you open our ears so that we should be able to see and hear what you have prepared for us. And we pray that at the end of this message, you receive all the glory, and we, your people, be edified. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The context of the passage of scripture that you have read this morning, it's about the public ministry of Jesus Christ in the region of Galilee. And as you read the account of Mark, the writer here, about this mission of Jesus Christ in the region of Galilee, you come across some of the things that marked the ministry of Jesus Christ. And these are the things that should mark our ministry as well as we partner with God in the advancement of his kingdom here on earth. And one of the things that clearly comes out from this passage about the thing that marked the ministry of Jesus Christ is that Christ's ministry was not for popularity. In other words, Jesus Christ did not do things in order to wow the crowd, in order to please the people, but he did everything else according to the mandate that his Father had given him. And as we look at this particular passage, the question that may come to your mind is, how does this passage show us that Christ's ministry was not for popularity? How does these few verses that we have read in Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 39, reveal that the ministry of Jesus Christ was not only for people to be impressed? And I think we see that in two ways according to this passage. Number one, we see that when you understand how Jesus Christ is responding to the demons. Verse number 34, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ could not allow the demons to speak back to him. But secondly, you see from this passage that Christ's ministry was not for popularity when you consider his response to the demand of the people when the message came to him that people were busy looking for him and his response to that search in verse number 39. And we are going to spend some few minutes looking at those two, and then we are going to spend the rest of our time together trying to apply that particular message. So first of all, we see in this particular passage that Christ's ministry was not for popularity by analyzing the response of Jesus Christ to the demons. In verse number 34, the Bible says Jesus Christ was busy healing the people, but in verse number 34, Jesus Christ was casting out demons, and he did not permit the demons to speak back to him. And Mark continues to say, because they knew him. But what Mark doesn't tell us here is that what exactly were the demons to speak about Jesus Christ? But when we read from other gospel writers, we find out these demons were there to reveal the identity of Jesus Christ. That this one is not an ordinary man, he is the Messiah himself, the anointed one of Israel. And that's exactly what Jesus said, don't tell them about this. Now, when you look at that, I say, Jesus Christ, you are missing the opportunity here. Actually, this is the thing that people are failing to see in you as the Messiah of Israel. And here are the demons. They want to reveal that to everybody who is around you, and you are busy saying, shh, don't tell them. I mean, if that were Jesus Christ, I would say, hey, demons, louder. Let them hear more, especially these Pharisees and teachers of the law. They have been doubting my identity. Please make it louder so that they understand this. But Jesus says, shh, don't tell them. The question is why? And again, you see Jesus' ministry was not for popularity when you consider his response to the demands of the people. In verse number 38, the Bible says, everybody was looking for him. This is after Jesus Christ had done his ministry the previous day. He has healed their diseases. He has preached to them. And then the following morning, everybody else was busy. Where is Jesus? We want more miracles. We want more teachings. We are going to look for him. And the disciples joined the search for Jesus Christ. But when they finally found him, the disciples, they are shouting, Jesus Christ, where have you been? Everybody else is looking for you. And Jesus says, ah, thank you very much. Let us go to another town, for I have to preach there also. And again, if it were me, that was my opportunity. Everybody's looking for me. This is exactly why I came here. I'll join them and have a bigger party, because this is exactly what I wanted from these people. But Jesus Christ says, thank you very much. Let me go with you to the other city so that I have to preach there also. And again, we come back to our question, why is Jesus Christ responding in this manner? Why is he silencing the demons? Why is he not excited about all these people who are busy looking for him? Jesus Christ did not want to present himself to these people as a worldly superstar. In other words, Jesus Christ doesn't want to present himself to these people as a celebrity, as it were, because he knew that these people were not ready to accept him as the savior of their souls, but they were ready to receive him as a liberator of their nation. And remember, this was at the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is what other Bible writers, they say, this is the messianic secret. At the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ, Jesus didn't want to disclose his identity because these people were not ready to receive him as the savior of their souls. And I'm sure you can easily understand that when you consider the context in which Jesus Christ is doing all these things. At this point in time, the Jews were still under the burden of the Romans. And what each and every Jew wanted at that particular time was to find somebody else who would liberate them from the oppression that they were receiving from the Romans. And they saw Jesus Christ as that liberator of the nation of Israel. And though they were very much excited about his coming, but their intention was not about the salvation of their souls. They wanted Jesus Christ to liberate them as a nation. And Jesus says, "You are not ready to receive me as the savior of your lives. We wait until the appointment time." Jesus Christ understood his mission, and he didn't want to be diverted by the demands that was coming from these particular people. And when you read the Gospel of John, after Jesus Christ had fed 5,000 people, what was the response of the people? They wanted to make Jesus Christ as the king by force. And that's exactly what you see here. Jesus Christ was very able and he understood this mission, and he didn't want that mission to be diverted by the demand of all these people that were coming to him. Friends, one of the things that has destroyed the church of Jesus Christ, at least from the part of the world where I'm coming from, is people's desire to make a name for themselves. I mean, when you come to Malawi, you ask a lot of people who go to church, average church-going people, as to how does a successful church look like? These are some of the answers that you receive from these people. Number one, they'll tell you a successful church is a church has a lot of people that coming to the doors of that church on a particular Sunday service of worship. It's all about numbers. And again, they'll tell you a successful church is a church that's got a very big temple, something that should really be attractive in that particular society. It's all about what people think about us externally. And again, they'll tell you a successful church, it's a church that has got a huge bank account. It's all about money. Now, there is nothing wrong in having numbers in the church. There is nothing wrong in having a very good sanctuary that everybody should fit in that particular meeting place. And there is nothing wrong in having money, because we need money in order to do God's work. There was a time when I was very much involved in church planting. And when we are doing church planting, when people are not coming to our meeting places, I was discouraged. I wanted people to come. So numbers, they're very important. And of course, when we were doing church planting for a few years, we were worshiping under a tree. And each time it was raining, everything was disturbed. We needed a new building so that we can worship God freely. Buildings are very important. And again, we needed money in order to do our programs. Money is very important even in the service of God himself. But this is the point. If those are the things that really matter as we try to do God's work, then we are really heading for disaster. Because these are the very same things that the world is looking for as they try to describe success. Because worldly success, it's all about numbers. Worldly success, it's all about outside appearance. Worldly success is all about money. And if the church focuses on those things alone, then the church will start compromising of the essentials of what the code has called it to be doing. And those things will start being compromised in the very body of Jesus Christ. And what are those things? Yes, sound preaching of the word of God will be compromised, because we want to preach things that people will be attracted to. Church discipline will not be the priority in that particular church, because if you discipline people, you think, "I'll scare away people, they'll not come to me." And again, the administration of the sacraments will not be a priority, because these are the things that people are not attracted to. So as we partner with God in the advancement of the kingdom of God here on earth, we have to be very careful so that we don't divert to the mission that God has given us. Look to Jesus, who has given us a very good example of how not to divert from the mission that God has given. But we look to Jesus Christ not only for our example on how to do better, but we look to Jesus because he's the one who gives us the ability to do that. Because on our own, we can hardly keep this mission. Look to Jesus. And Jesus Christ was there, and when he was doing his mission, he made sure that he was not diverting from the very mission that his Father had given him. And friends, be reminded that as you do God's work here, there will always be a collision between the values of the world and the values of the kingdom in whatever you are involved in. As you're busy raising your children in your families, there is going to be that fight between the values of the world and the values of the kingdom. And the question to you this morning is, when those values collide in whatever you are doing, which values are you going to choose and uphold? Jesus Christ was ready to say, I'm not going to buy in into the values of the world, but I'm going to hold on to the values of the kingdom of God. And that is our call, even as we partner with God in the advancement of the kingdom of God. But this passage does not only reveal to us that Jesus' mission was not for popularity, but there is something else that you see in this particular passage. And that is the fact that Jesus Christ, as you were saying no to the values of the world, he committed himself to something else. And there are two things that we can see in this particular passage. Jesus was not only busy saying no to the values of the world, but as he was saying no to the values of the world, he made sure that he was very serious to two things that are seen in this particular passage. Number one, you see Jesus Christ valuing his relationship with the Father. Number two, we see Jesus Christ focusing very much on his role in the kingdom of God. Number one, we see Jesus Christ valuing his relationship with God through prayer. And that's exactly what you see in verse number 35. The Bible is very clear that early in the morning, Jesus Christ woke up, and where did he go? He went to a desolate place where he prayed. Now, remember the context here. The previous day, Jesus Christ was busy saving the people, preaching, casting out demons, teaching, and doing all sorts of things. And come the following morning, tired as he was, he sacrificed sleep, and then he went to have quality time with his Father by praying. I mean, this is Jesus, the very Son of God. But he understood one thing, that if he was to accomplish the mission that God has given him, then prayer was to be at the very center of that particular mission. Now, each time I read this, I say, if Jesus Christ needed prayer in order to accomplish his mission, how much prayer do I need? And the question to you this morning is, how is your prayer life? If you were to throw that question to me, I would say it's not good. I wish I could do better. Because most of the times, instead of praying, I pray a lot. But Jesus Christ is giving a very good example to us. If we are to accomplish the mission that God has given us, then everything that we do should be saturated in prayer. Because prayer is the anointing means that God has given us in order to accomplish the mission that God has given us. When was the last time you sacrificed food just because you wanted to have quality time with your Lord God? When was the last time you sacrificed sleep just because you wanted to have this wonderful time in prayer with your God? When was the last time you sacrificed entertainment just because you wanted to have this wonderful time with God in prayer? Jesus Christ made sure that he prayed because he knew that was the means through which he was going to accomplish that which God wanted him to accomplish. But you don't only see Jesus Christ valuing his relationship with the Father here, you also see him focusing very much on his role in the kingdom. Now, you know that the coming of Jesus Christ meant the coming of the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ is the king in the kingdom. So as the king in the kingdom, Jesus Christ did at least two things. Number one, he was proclaiming the message of the kingdom. And number two, he was demonstrating the lifestyle of the kingdom. Number one, Jesus Christ made sure that he was proclaiming the message of the kingdom by calling on people to repent of their sins and come to him and be part of and parcel of this wonderful kingdom. You remember the first words that Jesus Christ spoke to the people. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. In other words, as people who are in the kingdom of God, one of the things that we have to be focusing on is to make sure that we are calling on people to repent of their sins and come to Jesus Christ and be part and parcel of the kingdom of God. That's our call. As we say no to the values of the world, we have to be very active in calling other people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We proclaim the message of the kingdom, the message of repentance, so that people should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But secondly, Jesus Christ is not only proclaiming the message of the kingdom, but he's also demonstrating the lifestyle of the kingdom by giving hope to these hopeless people. And I think that's how we should look at all these miracles that Jesus Christ was performing. He was giving the people a foretaste of how the kingdom of God will look like in the final analysis. In the final analysis, all those who are deaf will hear again. In the final analysis, those who are blind will see again. In the final analysis, those who are lame, they will walk again. In the final analysis, those people who are dead will rise again to life. So he was giving hope to these people who are having the effects of the fall. And I'm sure when these people received all these miracles, they started seeing hope in this Jesus Christ. And that's the call that God has given us. When you look around, there are a lot of hopeless people outside there. And when you try to meet their physical needs, you are giving them hope. And how do we demonstrate the message of the kingdom? We demonstrate the message of the kingdom by doing mercy ministry. By meeting the needs of the people physically, so that when they receive those, they are able to have hope that at least God cares for us. You know, one of the things that we do at Eli, yes, our main focus is to teach the word. So we teach pastors to go out and teach others. But as we focus on the word, we realize that these people are human beings. They have got physical needs as well. So as we're teaching them, we find out that in their villages, people are drinking very bad water. So with the support of our partners, we provide boreholes and wells. And even as we teach these people, we discover that these people are hungry. They don't have food. So with the help of our donors, we provide food to these people. And of course has shown you the handover ceremony that we did. I'm sure you saw the excitement of the people, but that's just one of the many excitements that people have when they are receiving this clean water. The clean water that we take it for granted, that when you go to your bathroom, you open the tap, water comes out. That's not a thing in most of the African villages. People have to travel for 1 mile, 2 miles, just to get clean water. And when people are receiving this water, they are having hope in what God can do in their own lives. And that's exactly what God has called us to do. So as we look at the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ in the land of Galilee here, we learn at least three things. Number one, we see that as we do this work, we don't have to do it in order to impress the people. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is teaching us. But as we say no to the values of the world, we have to make sure that we are focusing on our relationship with the Father through prayer. We have to be men and women of prayer, because that's the only way how we are going to accomplish the mission that God has given us. And as we do that, we have to make sure that we are demonstrating the message of the kingdom, but also we are proclaiming the message of the kingdom. And all those things we cannot do on our own. We look back to Christ, who is able to give us the ability to do these things well. May God help us as we partner with him in the advancement of the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your reminder this morning, reminding us of our role in your kingdom. And we thank you that you have spoken to us through the very ministry of Jesus Christ. And we know, Father, It's very easy to talk about things and very easy to sit down and listen to all these things, but very hard to put these things into practice. So we pray that you're going to give us your Holy Spirit so that we can be doers of this word and not just hearers only. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.